Should you learn website design? That's one of the questions we're going to be asking today in the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast, episode 52, Pascal.
I know, that's rather exciting. Thank you everyone for joining us either live or on replay. But yeah, today's about looking to the future, looking after yourselves, looking after your audience and finding ways for your website to work harder for you. And of course, for you to feel proud of your website again.
Yeah, for sure. This is the 90 Day Website Mastery podcast, part of the 90 Day Website Mastery program and our recently published book, Web Proud. We're delighted to have you join us, whether you're joining us live or whether you're on the replay or listening on the podcast. However you're here, we are delighted. And we're going to have our four segments as always. Our first one will be You Ask, We Answer, where we're going to take something that's been submitted by one of our community and have asked a question. Of course, we're going to give you some actionable tools that you could be using as a website manager and a call to action. We always finish content with a call to action, do we not? So should we get started with our first segment? The You Ask, We Answer.
So on this occasion, Johnny, this is something I received via email quite recently, one of my mentees. And the question is literally word for word as follows. I'll read it out to you. Hi, Pascal. I've been thinking about something. Should I go on the training course to learn how to design a website? Would it make it easier for me to update my website content and optimize it correctly? What say you, Johnny Ross?
Well, I'm all for training. I'm all for CPD. Should you go on a course to figure out how to design and then design your own website is a question. I'm not quite sure whether I'd say absolutely yes to that. I think training is important. I think upskilling is important. I think understanding what can be done and what can be achieved is really important. But I don't know if it's the right analogy, but a bit like, you know, if I was getting a house built and do I want to do all the work myself or do I want to go on a course to understand how the best way of plastering is done, how the best way of painting is done, to then actually just be able to choose the right supplier and to give them the right brief and to be able to challenge them. And I think that latter bit is far more important. In fact, only this morning I was internally briefing a new website for a new client, and I was internally briefing my designer in terms of what we're wanting. And the only way that you can deliver a decent brief is by really understanding how design works and how to design and how the tools work to then make sure that you're asking for the right things within the brief. Am I then going to go off and design it myself? Absolutely not. I can go on a training course, but that's not going to help me actually design. I don't have that creative design skill. So I think training is really important. I think you need to be clear about what it is that you're wanting to learn. And I think it's more about upskilling so that you can challenge and so that you can brief and so that you can really understand how things work. That's what I think.
Yeah, and in a way, if you look at the question again, this is in two halves, isn't it? This is designed to learn how to design a website to make it easier for me to update my website content and optimize it. And I'm like, right. Now we have two different kind of categories here. We have website design and actually what you and I love, the running of the website. And they are two different things. Now, I'm with you, you know, certainly would help for you to be kind of conversant in website design, to A, be sensible about your aspirations and expectation in terms of pace and momentum when it comes to design. But if your desire is to be a better content creator, content publisher and optimizer, that's a different training, I would say, a different kind of skills development. But also for me, the conversation should be more about, all right then, can we actually step back for a bit? And can we be more strategic and think about maybe a learning plan over the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months? So as opposed to kind of maybe reacting to a challenge. So this was, I would imagine, inspired by my client going on the WordPress CMS and then struggling a bit, you know, because actually I think it's become a bit clunky. And when they introduce things like Elementor and a few other things, it doesn't make it any easier, I don't think. But that's Pascal's position, happy to be challenged. But so I think for me would be, instead of reacting to challenges and thinking, oh, I need a training for that, step back and start to list, you know, on a bullet point style, what you'd love to learn, but also what you would enjoy doing. I think it's really, really quite important. And then maybe kind of spread this over a number of months and then look around what's available through your own kind of business support network, Growth Hubs. Julie and I are very involved in the north of England in that kind of things. But I'd love it to be more part of a learning and development plan than just reacting, for sure.
Yeah, I think, and I think some of the training is too focused on the tool itself as well and less about the strategy. And I think that's more important, which I think is what you're tapping into. So, you know, things around messaging and the structure of it and even considering accessibility and considering user intent and customer journey across a website. Those are far more important than, you know, how to use a specific design tool, for example. So I think I like the idea of having sort of a bigger plan on training, but I think we're both agreeing that upskilling is so important to be able to understand what's achievable, what's not achievable. And as a website manager, sort of being able to be clear on what the strategy is, what's important, what do we need to focus on, and what do I need to make sure I deliver or, you know, work on over the next quarter or and the next year.
Yeah, and to your point, though, this should be informed by the business strategy, you know, so you can cascade down. So you've got the vision for 2026, you've got your sales goals, you've got a number of kind of key performance indicators, as a result of which you believe that you have to upskill yourself and your colleagues, and you're going to do this over a number of months, not just a one-off like you and I did in our younger days where we were, you know, sent to a Microsoft Office course, just as a like kind of one-off, and then nothing else was done or said about it. So now, I mean, you and I obviously are part of the digital skills agenda. Of course, we would, you know, say to people, you need to upskill yourself. But I like the idea of someone to be able to articulate the reason why and when they're going to do it.
Yeah. And the other thing that we always talk about is that, is your time best spent designing the website? And actually, is your time far better spent on delivering what you're passionate about within your business, and a portion of that time being strategic about sort of shaping the design of the website, but not actually doing it? So, you know, think about how much you can earn during the hours that you end up potentially going down rabbit holes, which, you know, I think is the other thing to bear in mind hugely. But having the skills to be able to brief and challenge is just so important as well.
And that's interesting. That was quite a simple question, but we ended up talking about it quite a bit. But then, you know, you should not be asking trainers whether you should go on the training course, but it's like asking a watchmaker what time it is. You know, it's just another the done thing. So hopefully that's been really helpful for everybody and go through it again. And we'd love for you to send us, you know, your suggestions about your own learning plan for 2026. But it's time to move on to our next segment, Website Stories. Now, can I just say that I'm really excited about this one, Johnny, because every year, well, there's two reports that I look forward to. This is how sad I am. There's the Ofcom report on what they call online nations, and there's the Hootsuite report on social media trends. But this one really is looking at 2025 and the behavior of our customers when it comes to internet usage. So this report is 114 pages. So I recommend, of course, you're using the AI summarizer to pick out the best bits. But I wanted to focus specifically on what would relate to website and behavior that we would do. So I'm going to go through some of the headlines. It's not going to cover everything in this report, as you can imagine. And the link is in the show notes for everyone that wants to download it and look at it. But for me, what has been interesting is that adults in the UK, on average now, have spent 4.5 hours a day, which is up from last year. Now, the reason why this is important is because for the last 2-3 years, the time spent online has plateaued and was the same. And you and I kind of said, ooh, are we kind of getting to the beginning of a decline of time spent online? But we've been up now by 10 minutes a day, which is not negligible. 4.5. The vast majority, of course, has been using smartphones as a gateway to the internet. And the top three, the kind of gold, silver, and bronze medals have been awarded to WhatsApp, Facebook, and Google Maps. And I want to go back to that, Johnny, because I think it has some bearing on our website marketing strategy. In terms of platform of on the up this year, Reddit is on the up, influenced by YouTube. On the down, quite a bit is Twitter. And I think Twitter is going to become essentially now completely irrelevant in some sectors, but still relevant in others. And surprisingly, but then again, we need to remember that this is a UK report, Quora has been down quite a bit. On the up, so it's marginally down, so I don't think it's something to be worried about. Pinterest, Messenger, and eBay. The one major kind of 2025 trend that has been reported by Ofcom is the AI overviews and summaries, and saying that UK adult internet users in particular are almost half as likely to click on the links from the AI summaries. We're seeing a massive shift, which you and I have discussed many a time on this podcast, which in people being satisfied to just read the information presented by the AI summaries and not clicking on the links. So that's quite an important one. Trust is an issue on the internet, and literally only a third of the adults being surveyed actually believe that the internet is good for society. So need to bear this in mind. How do we operate as digital marketers in an environment where trust is down? Excuse me. The one thing to also bear in mind is obviously this idea of the agentic AI. You know, I've discussed this. We think the term is awful, but this idea where AI will start to be able to work autonomously. And the number two use cases would be to compare products and services or to plan holidays. And the majority of the comparison will come from your presence on Google Maps and your presence on Google Overviews. So Google Maps is a massive, massive part of the report. It's been actually interestingly called or kind of labeled the high street of the digital world. And whilst there are other apps like Waze and Apple Maps in the marketplace, frankly, Google Maps is by far dominates literally 80% of all ages uses, you know, Google Maps. So reflecting on this kind of top-level summary of the insight, there's a lot more in this report. From a marketing and website experience point of view, there are three core pillars that people should focus on. Become the answer, and therefore publish, you know, content well. Go deep, but don't go wide. So you've got to be, you have to give people a reason to go on your website and become your sector's trusted voice. In a way, that's quite reassuring because that's not new, but it's even more, I would say, urgent that people do so. And I'm going to leave you with the statement that I thought was really, really quite interesting for all it's about social media. It goes, your customer is not on social media. They are on a specific platform for a specific reason. So if you were to change the term slightly, Johnny, your customer is not on a website. They are on a specific website for a specific reason. And I think for me, that's kind of the idea of, you know, the focus and making sure that we use those insights to inform our strategy for 2026.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a report. When I saw it on the show notes, I thought I better have a quick look at this report. And I like your idea of running reports through AI to give you sort of the highlights as well. You know, nothing wrong with using a digital assistant. And the sort of what I took from it was this isn't saying do more marketing. It's saying be present where the attention is all where people already are and they already have their attention. So, you know, for example, websites are no longer brochures. They are feeding the machines. And if you want to be visible and seen and mentioned, you've got to have good enough content to be able to feed those machines and not just have some kind of, you know, brochure website. So it's quite fascinating. Some of the read. I love the focus on Google Maps. I've always thought about websites as shops on the high street. That's the not terminology. What's the word? It's the way I've always thought about websites. You know, how do you using SEO to get on a busier high street, basically? And Google Maps is sort of the signpost to all of this. So yeah, I love how this is being highlighted. I think what the report suggests is that the attention actually is more concentrated than fragmented. So actually people are spending time specifically on certain things, like you were just saying earlier, Pascal. And And I think that, you know, that means that we just need to make sure that our websites are really helpful, really engaging, that we've got really good, strong visibility on the likes of Google Maps, and that we're making sure that we're using content that really works on, for example, things like YouTube, which, you know, is making a big difference. I know that you mentioned one of the things that it highlights, which is fewer feel the internet is good for society. I think mm-hmm. I'm hearing more of that as well. In fact, even on the radio, they were talking about it this morning on the Today program. And then, you know, there's a growing awareness in terms of doom scrolling and brain rot as well. My kids are always using that phrase, brain rot. So, you know, there definitely is this growing awareness. So it's for SMEs and for website managers, it's about, you know, bearing in mind that hard sells are not going to work well. That type of content will struggle. Generic AI content is also not going to cut through. It needs that real authenticity, that real story, that real human aspect. And real expertise is ultimately going to win, which, like you said, Pascal, is nothing new. It's great to hear that. It's just more focusing on what matters and what delivers. So, yeah, fascinating report. Thanks for bringing this one, Pascal.
Not at all. Well, I thought I should share it because I every year I look forward to it. It used to be published in the summer in the previous years and now kind of end of years, which is nice because it gives you... and for me, I'm guessing, you know, our viewers and listeners have been nodding, thinking, yeah, that's kind of pretty much what I gathered intuitively. And I've got the stats and the data to back it up, you know, because we're very good to pick up human behavior and what's happening out there. And what is very interesting to observe, you know, about the lack of trust or the decline in trusting that what's happening on the internet is always for good. It's across all generations because there was a time where, do you remember when digital was deemed to be a young person's game, you know, and now we're seeing actually the young generation will be the first one to walk away. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk has been, you know, recorded to say that there's going to be a massive unplugging away from social media and more towards communities. That makes sense to me. So I think Reddit is a very good example why, you know, this is happening, because people want to join a forum with a like-minded individual where actually kindness and openness is actually at the heart of it. And you can express different views on life and work in general. But for me, you know, there's a sense of urgency, and we keep saying this every year, but I reckon now, particularly the AI overviews, if you're not paying attention and you're not engaging your kind of creative flair and self-expression when it comes to blogging, which I know is a very ancient term. It feels like, you know, they shouldn't be doing it. But Johnny and I have been telling you for decades now, get started, because this will pay dividends. And when we move on to the next sections, you'll see why. So for me, there's a sense of urgency to get focused, to really reconnect with what makes you, you know, different in the marketplace. And you've got to start telling those stories. For me, digital marketing and website management in 2026 is about the art of being explicit.
Nice sum up. I like that. Be explicit. It's just a huge reminder on do what we instinctively think is the right thing, and be the expert. And you know, some of the training courses that we've done recently, there's so much up inside a business owner's, a founder's head, that actually they just haven't shared or haven't told. And all that sort of magic that happens behind the scenes, that happens prior to a service delivery or during a service or after, that they just haven't shared. And it's that sort of stuff that is real gold dust, that is even more and more important to actually bring out and say, oh, by the way, do you know that this is how we have come up with this, or this is why we do it, or this is the passion behind it, or this is the best practices that we have in place? Yeah, mental. Should we move to our next segment? Or absolutely. Did you have more to say, Pascal?
Well, if you don't mind, quickly, you and I have said this all the time. You know, people will come back to you, Johnny, and say, well, actually, it doesn't matter because people must know this, or others have already said it. I say, yeah, but what matters is that you have not said it. And the absence of, you know, the evidence that you care, that you're passionate and so on, is what's going to slow down your progress. And, you know, you heard it a moment ago, and this is now official through Ofcom. people just look at the AI overviews and that's it. They will not click on the link, but the AI overviews are an overview of what's on your website or Google Maps. So get started.
Very good. Let's go to our next segment, the website engine room.
Now, in this part of the show, John and I like to be able to test and report back to you an app or a software solution that can make life easier as a website manager or content creator. So, Johnny, what is your discovery for today?
This is clay.com. Links will always be in the show notes, as always. So if you're looking to research and turn data, ultimately, if you're looking to research, you can turn data into action with flexible, iterable workflows, including integration into Google Tag Manager and all sorts of different CRMs. So ultimately, if you manage a website and care about the results, Clay is seriously worth looking at, because you can capture data from forms, you can capture data from Google Tag Manager and turn that into proper real actions that mean something. So that's going to help grow growth goals. It's going to take complications instead of overcomplicating things. It makes things easier to understand, ultimately increasing customer journey experience, increasing return on investment. And it just feels like quite a modern tool in this sort of digital age to on how websites should be built. So yeah, it's quite fascinating, and I'd really suggest having a play with it. So that's clay.com.
Thank you very much. So I've gone old school, but only because recently I was talking to a client where actually, bear in mind the conversation we had a moment ago, they have been really quite busy in content creation. They have a really extensive library of blogs and podcasts and videos and resources and so on. It's so huge that even they've lost track of what's in it, and they start to sometimes be surprised, you know. So I remembered from the recess of my mind a platform called Meet Edgar. Do you remember Meet Edgar? Because it used to be very, very popular many, many years ago. So this platform is perfect for any marketers, website, you know, managers, where you have that extensive library of evergreen content. Because what you can do is actually pre-program a bit of a schedule of resharing and reminding your lovely audience and yourselves, for that matter, about the different content on your website. Because there is a thing about recency and novelty that is a bias towards that, particularly when it comes to search engines as well. But sometimes, you know, it's worth, sometimes you've written an article that is still relevant, or you still feel strongly that, you know, the point you've been making 2-3 years ago are still very, very valid. So because time is against you, what you can do is put together that, you know, schedule in advance. You get, of course, nowadays, a lot of assistance with AI. You can do some A/B testing, but more importantly, you get some analytics as well. But the one thing that I loved is also this integration with Chrome. So actually, you could visit your own website, which sounds very strange, but you could visit your own website, and via Chrome, you could actually set the schedule of resharing and reminding the world, you know, what a great content creator you've been. So Meet Edgar, your kind of assistant to help people not miss out on the good stuff in your website.
What a great reminder of a tool that's been around a while, but can make a big difference. Mm-hmm. I like it. Let's move to our next segment, our final segment, the website call to action.
So this is about the one change, the one adjustment you should be making right now to feel proud of your website. Johnny, what is your call to action?
So if you've been following my call to actions, I will have mentioned putting pop-ups on your website to try and grab data. The sooner you've got data, the sooner you can start nurturing potential clients, potential customers. This call to action is sort of, in a way, slightly against it, in terms of making sure that you haven't just sort of put loads of pop-ups up and not made it easy for the user to just close them easily. So the important thing here is, don't just plaster your website full of pop-ups that are just constantly coming up and are really difficult. I think they're really important as part of the strategy, but also as part of the strategy, make sure they're mobile friendly. Make sure they're timed well. make sure they're easy to close. What you don't want to do is frustrate visitors either. So it's about well-timed. It's about bringing them up at the right time, making it really easy to close, and especially thinking about how do they work on mobile as well. So I absolutely advocate for pop-ups. If you haven't got them, you should have them. But my call to action for this podcast is make them easy to close as well, though, and don't frustrate your visitors.
Super. And listen, this has been my experience. You know, I don't know what's happening with the big brands. They must be so worried that people are going to close the pop-up store. Do you know that they even hide the little cross on the top right-hand corner?
Exactly.
They make the cross the same color as the background of the box. I mean, there are all these different tactics. You know, it's just like, come on. You know, you know, you just heard a moment ago from Ofcom that people are getting annoyed with you. So, you know, just don't do that. My call to action is actually inspired by something that I'm going to do for my business. I hope that's all right. But because of, you know, looking at ahead of 2026, I'm getting all the renewals, memberships and that kind of thing. So my call to action is for everybody to kind of review all the memberships and all the different kind of professional bodies you've joined or that you're a member of for 2026. Make a list. And make sure that against that list, you have some key contacts in those organizations, because I think what you should do is, particularly, of course, if you are renewing a membership, that would make sense. I would invite them to join you for a Q&A session where they can actually tell you and therefore your audience a bit more about their organization. But they can have a conversation about the future of your industry, or, you know, have a conversation about the impact of AI. You can have just a meaningful conversation that can then be used for content for your blog. And of course, because you've had a guest, they will share this with their network. And it's an extensive network because they are part of a membership organization, which will add traffic to your website. So review the membership, invite guests on your blog, podcast, and video series, and enjoy the rewards.
And I'm hearing that you're going to be doing this yourself, which is great.
I am.
I like it. Brilliant call to action. Thanks, Pascal. So we've thought about training. Should you be having training to learn web design? We've made you think about that. We've made you think about it in a bigger picture. What should your training plan be actually for the next 12 months? And what are the right things to be trained on? We've highlighted the Ofcom report and where to spend time focusing on your content. Websites are no longer just brochures. Well, in fact, we've never advocated them as just brochures anyway. But just to distill up myth, they are really not. And, you know, what's on your brochure is appearing in AI overviews. Sorry, what's on your website? Not on your brochure. What's on your website is appearing in AI overviews, and only if AI likes it. So you need to really be the expert and focus hard on your content, like we've always said. We've shared some great apps and some call to actions as well. It's the wrap for episode 52, Pascal.
Thank you very much. And yes, I mean, I think for me, it's been interesting. This one is looking slightly ahead by your own personal professional development, but also looking ahead at, you know, informing our tactics based on data as well as, you know, good observation and intuition. And, you know, when time is against you, make sure that you've got the right toolkit to kind of, you know, support you in undertaking those. But for me, you know, I've realized now we've passed way, you know, well, we're on to episode 50. So that means that we've shared, you know, today, let's be very, very clear, over 100 calls to action. So I'm planning and plotting behind the scenes about how we're going to convert all this for you. We've shared also over 100 apps and software solutions that can make life easier. We have reacted to over 50 articles, podcasts, infographics, and more. And we have replied to over 50 questions from the community. So yeah, feels very special. And thank you for allowing us to continue, because we didn't have, I would say, a plan as such. You know, we wanted to continue the webinar series. We wanted to build on the program. We wanted to kind of, you know, have a kind of a companion to the book. And you've allowed us to do so. So thank you very much, everyone.
And what would be amazing is if you could let us know what you think. So please do come and reach us on social. Tell us what you think of the podcast. And if you'd like it, tell Apple, get on there and leave a review, because that will help others as well. And it'll be a lovely touch point for us. That was the podcast episode 52 of the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast, your audio companion to the 90 Day Website Mastery Program. For more information, visit 90daymarketingmastery.com, where you can book a discovery call with either myself or Pascal. It's a wrap for yet another episode.